Good morning, everyone. God bless you. I'm really excited to share this morning. And the topic is going to continue what we were talking about last week about grace. And I'm calling today's sharing grace-fullness, or the fullness of grace. And before I start, I just have to tell you a little story. My granddaughter, Lily, that lives in Colorado Springs, she has started kindergarten this fall, and she's already learning about the Constitution. So she got a piece of paper, and she started writing out all these Constitution laws, she called them. And one of them was to be thankful, and another one was that you have to end every prayer with amen. And I think that we had some prayers that we ended with amen. So in your mind, you just go like, amen. And wouldn't that be cool if everyone was praying and everyone was being thankful and that was part of our Constitution? I just thought that was so sweet. And the thing about prayer, about being thankful, last week we were talking about how grace is more than just unmerited favor, but it's God's ability working in us when we have no ability. And we also talked last week about how in Aramaic the root idea of grace is goodness. And so you put that together, and grace is God's ability and goodness. And so we're going to be looking at some of the verses in the New Testament, and we're going to substitute this phrase for grace, and I'm sure you will see how that changes our ideas a bit, so we can walk in the fullness of grace. I hope you also had fun with the 30-day challenge, and if you have some feedback about it or anything you want to share, please let me know and send me an email or a text or something. And I've had a lot of fun just thinking of different things to be thankful for this week. We sure do have a lot. So the first question I want to pose is, where did New Testament grace come from, and why is it different than the Old Testament? Because there is a difference. Even though there was grace in the Old Testament, and we looked at a lot of verses about how the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever, and how he made creation good for mankind. But I want you to turn to John chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 14. Because this really answers this question about what is the difference of grace in the New Testament versus the Old. And I'm going to be reading from the Aramaic translation. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we saw his glory, the glory as of the unique one, King James says, only begotten, who was from the Father, who is full of grace and truthfulness or faithfulness. John witnessed about him and cried out and said, this is he who I said would follow me, yet be before me because he was earlier than me. Verse 16, and from his fullness we all have received, and grace on account of grace, because the law was given by way of Moses, but truth and grace was by way of Jesus Christ. So true grace came by Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ came and he fulfilled all the things that God wanted him to do, verse 16 says, from his fullness, we have all received, and grace on account of grace. Both Aramaic and Greek say on account of means in place of. So grace in place of grace. There was grace in the Old Testament, but now there is this fullness of grace that has come by way of Jesus Christ. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. And he placed us as sons, or adopted us in Jesus Christ, as was pleasing to his will. Verse 6, that the glory of his grace, so substitute God's ability and goodness, would be glorified, which he has poured out on us by way of his beloved one, in whom we have redemption and remission of sins by his blood, according to the wealth of his grace, of God's ability and his goodness, he poured out on us by way of Jesus Christ. So you see that we have not only unmerited favor, but we have been given this fullness of God's ability that was in Jesus Christ, and because of what he accomplished and how we're identified with him today in everything, we have this fullness now too. We have redemption, remission of sins. There's so many really great things. So the next question I was asking was, well, what else do we have in Christ by grace? Because we have all the really wonderful sonship rights, like righteousness and redemption. We have justification, sanctification, all of these wonderful things. But there were some other verses that used the word grace that just showed a couple other different things. And the first one is that we have sufficiency. And so that's in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8. It says, now all grace, ability, and goodness comes by the hands of God, who causes it to increase in you, so that always, in everything, you will have what is sufficient for you and will increase in every good work. Wow, that is such a great promise that we have sufficiency in everything. And what God does with this inherent ability that he's given to us in Christ is he causes it to increase in us and to accomplish what he wants it to accomplish. And that's every good work. But it's not just a financial sufficiency, but sufficiency in everything. So that would mean sufficiency in health, sufficiency in knowing what we should do, having wisdom, having a clear direction in our lives. You name it. And that's all part of sufficiency. So grace, God's ability and goodness, is caused to increase in us. Another thing that we have by grace is hope and comfort. And that was in the manifestation so beautifully. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 16. It says, now our Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father, who loved us and gave us everlasting comfort and good hope by his grace, by his ability and goodness being poured out on us by Jesus Christ. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every word and in every good work. He's given us everlasting comfort, eternal comfort and good hope. Boy, if we didn't have that, I don't know how we survive in this world, in this particular time. Another thing that we have by grace is help in time of need. That's in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Therefore, we should boldly come near the throne of his grace. The throne of his what? His ability and goodness. So we can receive mercy and find grace for help in time of adversity or time of need. We actually find grace, where it's the same idea, how grace is increased in us. When we have a need, then God pours out his ability where we have no ability of our own and pours out his goodness on us and supplies that need. Another passage that's really great is Romans 12. And in this passage, starting in verse 6, it talks about how we all have various gifts according to grace. Verse 6. So we have various gifts according to the grace that is given to us. So again, substitute God's ability and goodness. We have various gifts that are given to us. There's giving of prophecy according to the measure of the faith. There's giving of ministering. One has to use ministering or service. There's giving of a teacher and his teaching. There's giving of a comforter and his comforting. And of one who gives with simplicity, and of one who presides with diligence, and of one who is merciful with cheerfulness. So those are just some of the gifts of service that every believer can do. But according to the grace that is given to us, we all have the grace and the fullness of Jesus Christ. But it will be acted out in service in specific ways. Some people are more adept at giving than others, some teaching, some prophecy. There's all these different things. But the point is that it's all according to the grace that is given to us. So now the last question I wanted to ask was, what do we do with this grace, this fullness of grace? And 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it talks about how we can minister this grace to each other. Verse 10, and every one of you should minister the gift that he received from God to his friends as good stewards of the diverse grace of God. You see how it is again where, yes, we all have the same gift of Holy Spirit and the same fullness of Christ, but there is a diversity to how the grace works in our lives. Verse 11 says, all who speak should speak according to the word of God, and all who serve should serve as from the strength that God has given to him, so that in all you do, God will be glorified by way of Jesus Christ, whose glory and honor is forever and ever. Amen. There's the amen. God, so when we're good stewards of the grace of God and we speak God's word and we minister to our friends, I love that, to the people that we meet and are in contact with, then it gives glory to God. And that's what we want to do, is that God would be glorified by the way of Jesus Christ. Another thing we can do with this fullness of grace is to speak God's word. And that particular passage is in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Be steadfast in prayer and be vigilant in it and give thanks. And pray also for us that God will open a door of speech for us to speak the mystery of Christ, because of whom I am imprisoned. The mystery of Christ is how we each have this beautiful gift of Holy Spirit that is the fullness of Christ. And God had kept that as a secret from before the foundation of the world, and he never revealed it to anybody until he revealed it to the Apostle Paul. And now we do know it, so we can have a door of speech open to us so we can talk about how this beautiful, wonderful gift and the fullness of Christ and the fullness of grace is what we have. Verse 4 goes on to say, that I may reveal him and speak of him as it is right for me to do. Walk with wisdom toward outsiders and buy out your opportunity. Take every opportunity we have to speak God's word. And your speech at all times should be with grace, with God's ability and goodness, as though seasoned with salt, and know how you ought to give an answer to every man. We just had turkey dinner. What would happen if you didn't put any salt on the stuffing or the turkey or the gravy? You know, salt really brings out the flavor of whatever it is you put it on it. And that's why it's using that as an example here, is that when we speak, if it's with grace, we're just talking about God's goodness, his kindness, his love, his mercy, his tenderness. It's as though we season our words with salt to bring out the best flavor possible. Now, the last thing I thought about that what we do with this fullness of grace is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and that's to be strengthened and to grow. Verse 1 says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace which is in Jesus Christ." Be strengthened. That word "be strong" is passive tense. It's like be strengthened by the grace. That's what it does to us. It helps us to continue to have the strength to not only keep speaking God's word, but to do the things that we need to do, to have the strength to live in the stand time and to do it with grace and ease, with peacefulness in our hearts, and with great thankfulness. The last verse I want to read is 2 Peter chapter 3, and verse 18. And this is talking about growing in grace. But grow in grace. So, again, you put God's ability and his goodness. And in the knowledge of our Lord and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, and of God the Father, to whom be glory, both now and always, even for the days of eternity. Amen. There's a lot of other places you can put amen at the end here. But we can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, our Redeemer, because there's just always more to learn about how wonderful Jesus Christ is and what he has done for us and what he has given to us. And it's an inexhaustible source of riches and fullness. We've just been given so much in the grace of Jesus Christ. So now we just need to walk in the fullness of it. We can minister to others, we can speak God's word, we can be strengthened, we can have sufficiency in all things, hope and comfort, help in time of need, and we each have been given a beautiful way that this grace is working out in our lives in various gifts that we have that we can serve in the body. So let's walk in gracefulness. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.